having landed. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. Teams are filing in, uniforms are being tried on, which means we are getting closer and closer to the games. It's now just three Fridays until the opening ceremony kicks off on Wednesday, the 4th of April. This week, we've added the swimming, para, weightlifting and basketball teams to the Australian lineup. And we'll talk with netball legend Laura Geitz about her return to the court after maternity leave and what competing in a home games in her home state means to her. But before we speak with Laura, and as we count down with just three Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. Commonwealth Games Australia has announced a 70-strong swim team for next month's games following the four-day Australian swimming trials at the Games venue on the Gold Coast. There are 49 able-bodied swimmers and 21 parasport athletes, with Queensland dominating selection with 40 athletes, an incredible number out of the 70 in total, followed by New South Wales with 10, Victoria 9, Western Australia 6, and South Australia with 5 athletes on the team. The team continues swimming strong family ties with the Commonwealth Games, with 3 sets of siblings, sisters Kate and Bronte Campbell, Kaylee and Taylor McKeon, along with Griffith University's sister and brother combination, Emma and David McKeon. The Campbells, the McKeons and McEwen were all members of the 2014 team in Glasgow. There's also a father-daughter on the team with Georgia Boll and her father, team coach Michael Boll. It was a special occasion for the Bolls and McKeons, with Michael and Ron McKeon and Ron's wife Susie Woodhouse, all members of the 1982 Commonwealth Games team in Brisbane. So good luck to our swim team. Can't wait to see them in action. In basketball, Commonwealth Games Australia has announced the Boomers and Opals teams for the games. The teams were announced in Melbourne by 2006 Commonwealth Games gold medalist Lauren Jackson. In the Boomers side, it's a familiar lineup with the FIBA World Cup qualifiers having been recently announced. So it's a similar team to that, with none of Australia's NBA stars available. Sydney Kings' Brad Newley is the only Boomer backing up from the successful 2006 Commonwealth Games team in the lineup. And that was the last time basketball was included as a games sport. Every WNBL club will have a representative in the Opals team. WNBA star Liz Cambage has been named in the Opals team to compete in April and said that the team will, of course, be aiming for gold. In para weightlifting, Geelong Paralympian Kelly Cartwright heads up a 5-person para weightlifting team at the Games. Kelly took up the sport after she suffered permanent damage in her ankle after the London Paralympics, where she competed in athletics. She had to have her right leg amputated due to cancer when she was a teenager. She then started competing in the Paralympics events, starting off in athletics, where she won gold in the women's long jump and silver in the women's 100 in the T42 class at the London Games. In other games news, in cycling, great results from the small but talented track cycling team at the World Track Championships in the Netherlands. Australia ended the championships with 6 medals, with each of the 4 members of the team all coming home with some hardware. Matt Glatzer in the men's sprint, Cameron Meyer in the points race, both won world titles. Stephanie Morton in the sprint and Glatzer in the time trial claimed silver medals, while Callum Scottson bookended his championship with a bronze in the scratch race to start and then in the Madison with Cameron Meyer. So sensational results for our track cyclists. In athletics, Catherine Mitchell has again broken the Australian record in the javelin, breaking her own record that she set earlier last month in February, with a 68.57 effort at the Victorian Championships. Incredibly, it was the 7th longest throw in javelin history. And a small group of Australians were in action at the World Indoor Championships in Birmingham in the UK, with pole vaulter Curtis Marshall the best performing Australian, leaping an equal personal best of 5.80 to finish in fourth place. So Curtis now goes in as the red-hot favourite for the Commonwealth Games gold medal. Sally Pearson faced some hot competition as she was run out in the semi-finals in the 60-metre hurdles. In triathlon, tough conditions at the opening ITU World Triathlon Series event in Abu Dhabi. In a race marred by a series of crashes on the bike course, Commonwealth Games team members Ashley Gentle and Gillian Backhouse both survived their own crashes to complete the course. Gentle finished 13th, 1 minute 24 seconds behind the winner, while Backhouse limped across the line in 27th. Fortunately, both athletes will be okay for the upcoming Commonwealth Games. And in the men's race, Gold Coast bound Jake Birtwistle finished fifth, saying he was relieved to finish the race in one piece, describing it as chaos. In rugby sevens, New Zealand has edged out Australia 17-12 in the playoff for fifth place at the Las Vegas leg of the World Series, and that World Series now heads to Vancouver in Canada for the next leg before they return home for the Commonwealth Games. And finally, after touring all states and territories since the Australian League of the Queen's Baton Relay commenced in Canberra on the 25th of January, the baton has now arrived in Queensland ahead of the opening ceremony on the 4th of April. Rugby League royalty Jonathan Thurston has been named a baton bearer when the Queen's Baton visits Townsville in 2 weeks' time. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games news. Special guest this week on Gold Coast Gold is our netball legend. 64 tests for Australia, 29 of them as captain, two-time world champion, Commonwealth Games and silver medalist who's going to make a return to the court, and we can't wait. Laura Geitz, thanks for your time, Laura, and welcome to Gold Coast Gold.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Gee, you must be, I reckon you'd be a little bit nervous.
I definitely am, but I suppose at the end of the day, who's not nervous? It's a major tournament, and for us, netball, the biggest event that we can play in.
It's incredible, really, when you look at, you know, obviously we'll talk about becoming a mother and all of that, but you're going to take to the court for the first time at the Commonwealth Games when your last match was the ANZ Championship Grand Final with the Firebirds back in 2016, which is remarkable in itself, but that must get the anxiety levels rising just a fraction.
Look, it yeah, as you say, it's been a while between drinks since I've been out on court, and that wasn't even at an international level. That was obviously just a domestic competition, and I was 9 weeks pregnant at that stage as well. So my last outing on court in a professional game, I definitely wasn't feeling on top of the world, I must say. But, you know, I'm up for a challenge. I love a challenge, and this is exactly what this is. So I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. And in saying that, I haven't obviously been out on court in a true competition, but I have been back on court training since really September of last year. So I'm feeling good, and it's slowly all coming back to me.
Did you want to make it back initially? So you announced that you were pregnant straight after that grand final, and Barney was born on the 25th of February last year, so approaching or just over a year now. Did you think that you would make it back? Did you want to make it back, or did you just put all that to one side?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting question, because I think initially, obviously, when I was pregnant, and then recently, as soon as I'd had Barney, most women would know that have had a child, your body is flooded with so many different feelings and emotions and even hormones. So to think clearly and rationally is actually a really difficult thing to do during that time. So, you know, for example, one day I thought, yeah, this is a great idea. I want to get back and I want to play, and normally that was after a night where Barney had slept through, and then, you know, he might be up three times a night, and you just get up that morning thinking, what on earth am I thinking, even contemplating a return? So I suppose realistically for the first 3 to 4 months after having Barney, that's exactly what my day-to-day thought processing looked a lot like. And then I think from that point on, that point in time onwards, I started getting my head around the motherhood side of things, and you know, I felt like I still had some unfinished business, and the support was there, and I thought, why not give it a go?
You won't be the only mother on the Commonwealth Games team. There's a few in the track and field team and other sports. But who did you lean on for advice? Who do you whose phone did you pick up and say, you know, what do you reckon about this? Is it possible?
Yeah, a lot of people, to be honest. Look, I think I spoke to so many different people from so many different angles, and that included people like, you know, my former strength and conditioning coach, Brinley Abad, who I have the most utmost respect for, and, you know, to talk to him about from a performance side of things, and how does a woman that's just had a baby, how do you return and what can you expect? So I had quite a few conversations with him and you know, the coaches, and then I suppose the people that I spoke to the most was obviously my family, my husband Mark and my mum, who are the two people that I that are along for the ride with me, and you know, they ride all the highs and all the lows, and they're the ones that have to pick me up when I'm feeling down, or look after Barney and make sure that, you know, we're all running to schedule. So they were really involved a lot in the decision making process, and I suppose just having different conversations with as many people as I possibly could, so I didn't feel like I was rushing into the decision. People like Rebecca Bully, who's back playing in the Suncorp Super Netball League after having her little girl, Indy. Renee Ingalls, who returned after having twins, just to see, you know, how they coped with it all. And I think after all those conversations, I weighed up everyone's different points of view, and let me tell you, it wasn't all glossy and fantastic. There was a lot of, you know, this is the harsh reality of what you need to expect. And I suppose I got to the point where I was confident in my decision, and really at the end of the day, I wasn't ready to retire. I hadn't exhausted all love that I had for the game, and I suppose that's the biggest thing that turned me to want to come back and play again.
This is episode 38 of Gold Coast Gold. I think it wasn't the first. It might have been the second or third that we spoke with Lisa Alexander as our feature guest, and fascinating insight into her mindset as the coach of the Australian netball team. And I know back then, and this was in the middle of last year, that she was torn on whether it was the right thing for you to do. I would imagine you would have had an interesting conversation. You're desperate to get you back on the court, of course, because of your skills, but would it be the right thing for you? Would it be the right thing for the team? How could it take place, etc.? It must have been an interesting conversation with her when you first started to talk about a return.
Yeah, it was. Lisa has always been exceptionally supportive of whatever decision I make, and, you know, I feel comfortable enough to have those genuine conversations with Lisa. At the end of the day, she was a mother returning to the game. She'll openly tell you how many times her children sat on the sidelines, yep, as she played, and all the different people that played a role in supporting her to do that. So Lisa's particularly open. She's honest about it. She's probably one thing that people don't understand, and something that took me by surprise, is the fact that Lisa just gets on with it. She just, you know, she'll say, this is where our sport needs to head. I don't know why we're making such a big deal of this. And for me, that was actually a really calming influence to have those discussions with the head coach, to know that was her thought processing around it all. And I think she put a lot of, put my mind at ease with it a lot, in terms of just even, you know, I suppose coming back you know, entertaining the idea of everything that goes hand in hand with being a part of the team. So to be back out there on court and her decision as a selector, I mean, at the end of the day, all I can do is put out on court what I can put out on court, and it is the selector's decision at the end of the day. And, you know, I feel lucky that they have the confidence in me that I can do the job.
Yeah, not an easy job being a selector, and particularly when you think that, you know, the likes of Shani Leighton aren't in the team, it shows how strong our team is in the defensive end. Janine Illich played in 2006, just a little less than 12 months after having her first child at the Commonwealth Games. So from that perspective, you won't be the first, but It's a great story. Now that that decision is made and you're less than three weeks away from the games kicking off, 3 weeks, it's unbelievable when we even say it. How are you feeling about it? Are you ready to go?
I am. I probably have a very different approach to this Commonwealth Games. I've been lucky enough to compete at both Delhi and Glasgow. So these are my third games. And, you know, I suppose for me, I'm coming into a team that has proved themselves at the international level over the last few seasons, which is fantastic. It's exciting for me to come and work with a new bunch of girls, different bunch of girls to what I've competed with at those last two games. And, I'm feeling good because I think, like us, most mothers, having a child or most parents brings a whole new perspective to life. I think heading into those two games, and I was only reflecting on this the other day, it was really the be-all and end-all, you know, heading to Glasgow and Delhi, and your focus is so much on that. That's not to say that my focus isn't on Gold Coast, but at the end of the day, I'm a mother to a one-year-old little boy. So for those that have children or have had young children, you know just how much time and effort that they require, and that's just part and parcel of every day. So I find that I maybe the downtime that I had prior to Barney was spent a lot thinking about what to expect, where I just don't have the time to do that. And I feel like this is I'm heading into these games with a very different perspective. I look at my little boy and I think this is what life is actually all about, looking at him. This is a real bonus for me to be going along to these games and competing, and I will do everything that I can to be the best that I can be. But it brings a great sense of perspective as well, being a mother.
Let's turn our attention to the games themselves. The netball at the Commonwealth Games is just a cracker. It's because, you know, the World Championships and the Commonwealth Games are it for you guys. You don't have the Olympic Games, and for whatever reason, the matches are also so intense. I was lucky to be in Delhi for the double extra time heart stopper, which unfortunately came out on the wrong side of. But they always seem to be fantastic tournaments. And even in Glasgow, where you had that tight semi-final against England, the standard is rising, which means all the games are really interesting, and it'll be a joy to watch.
Yeah, look, netball's just a great game in general. I don't believe that a Commonwealth Games just highlights the fantastic product that we have. I think, you know, each week in the SSN you see awesome competitions and games happening. So I believe that we have the most fantastic product to watch. I'm obviously biased, but I stand by that. I love our game, and Commonwealth Games at the end of the day brings all the international flavour. You know, the countries that we only saw 4 years ago, the likes of Malawi, the likes of South Africa, the likes of Botswana, who are on the rise, and they bring a completely different element. You know, from an international perspective, we're used to playing New Zealand and England and Jamaica, but this is what is great about this Commonwealth Games is, we get to see these countries that just bring such an exciting flair to our game. And obviously the icing on the cake is that it's in our own backyard here in Queensland on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, well, for you, it's a home games in your home state, which is even elevates a step further. How do you look back on Delhi and Glasgow and your experiences in both of those games?
Look, Delhi for me was my first Commonwealth Games. Obviously, as you just mentioned earlier, it didn't go the way we wanted to. It was extra time and we lost that game to the Silver Ferns. And I spent the entire match on the pine, as some would say, and watched from the sidelines. And I was young. I was, I think, only about 22 at those games. And, it's an experience just to see the fact that, you know, you head into a competition where you think it's all about you, but suddenly you're in the village and you see so many athletes getting around and it's not just about you. There's so much going on, and that's a really wonderful atmosphere to be a part of. I think fast forward 4 years to Glasgow, probably one of my career highlights, obviously, having the opportunity and the privilege to lead the girls at that Commonwealth Games and be captain and to win after such a drought for us. And probably, I suppose, the one thing that I reflect most about Glasgow is that gold medal match was just an amazing game to be a part of. It was a game where every single girl in that green and gold dress probably brought their best performance of the entire tournament to that particular game. And as a result, we had a convincing win against the Silver Ferns, and a lot of family, a lot of friends were there. And also the other thing that probably, you know, the athletes don't talk a whole lot about is just the volunteers and how wonderful the volunteers actually make the experience, and we definitely experienced that at Glasgow. And I think that's probably one thing that I'm most looking forward to about Gold Coast is just how special the volunteers make it for the athletes.
It'd be interesting to be in the Australian team at a home games and everyone knowing your name, that's for sure. In politics, when the leader gets deposed, they go to the backbench. Now, I'm not saying that you were deposed as captain, and Caitlin Bassett's a wonderful new leader for the Diamonds, but are you a good backbencher?
I'll tell you in a couple of weeks.
Do you think it's going to be a strange experience not being the leader of the team? You know, everyone can be a leader. You don't have to be called the captain to be a leader. We know all of that, but it's going to be a different experience for you.
It will be, absolutely. I've had a taste of it here at the Firebirds. You know, obviously now supporting Gabby Simpson in that role as captain. And to be honest, a lot of conversations were had with myself and the coaches around that. And at the end of the day, when you're a leader, when you're the captain of the team, something that probably people outside of the inner sanctum don't realise is just the extra load that leadership actually brings, and the extra responsibility that you have. You know, you're not just worrying about your own performance, you're worrying about 11 other girls, and you know, you're the middleman, you're talking to the coaches, you're talking to the girls, everyone comes to you. So it's a much bigger load. I think to sit back and see Caitlin and Gabby in those roles as the new leaders of the Diamonds, have done a fantastic job so far. I'm, you know, excited to support them in those roles. And as you mentioned, you know, at the end of the day, you don't need a title to lead. I will offer my experience and the knowledge that I have from being there and doing that. But at the end of the day, they are our leaders. They will be who the girls look to in the tough times. And you know, I think it's just pure respect that's what you do. You know your role in the team, and you support the people that the girls have chosen to be there. So, as I said, they've done a fantastic job so far, and I'm looking forward to providing that support to them.
How's that statue going? What a thrill that must have been. You don't pop down there every day and say hello to yourself?
No, I did get a message from one past Firebird, one recently retired. I think for any netball knower out there, they probably know who that is. She was telling me she was going to go out and do laps around Boondall and throw a few eggs at that lovely statue. So I think she probably gets visited by a lot of the pigeons out there. It's something obviously that. It was a really lovely milestone and something that I feel honoured to have had after that stunning grand final win.
Particularly when you're still playing. What's the program between now and the games? We're so close now. What's the schedule look like for you?
Yeah, we're heading into Canberra next week for a camp where we'll obviously have a bit of match play and get those combinations a little more fine-tuned, I suppose you could say. We're currently training with our home state, so that for me is here up in Queensland with the Firebirds, and quite a few pre-season games are happening. We're off to Sydney this weekend to play against the Swifts and the Giants. And then again, we'll head into camp around that Easter weekend for preparation. We're heading up to the sunny coast, and then we'll make our way into the village on the 1st of April. And I think by the 5th, we're well and truly underway.
Yeah, start on the 5th, which probably means that the opening ceremony is out of the question for you, given it happens on the night before. Is that the way it works?
It's interesting. Our first game is 8:30 that following night.
Yep.
So the last two games that we have been at, we've had the pleasure of being able to march in the opening ceremony or be present, which is really special. So I suppose in these coming weeks at the camps, they're all discussions that the team will have, and it's not a case of, you know, a couple of girls might choose to go and a couple might want to stay. It's one in, all in, or, you know, we either all go or we all stay. So, I suppose they're the discussions that are yet to be had.
It's exciting time. Laura, we really appreciate your time. I know you've got to go and train, which is what athletes do, so we'll let you go. We really appreciate your time. We can't wait to follow the next few weeks in the final countdown, and can't wait to see you back out on court with the Diamonds at the Commonwealth Games in 3 weeks' time.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for the chat.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.